listening home, we'd like you to stand and sing with us the last words of this song. As we're thinking about homecoming and all the things God's done for us and how we'll remember His goodness to us.
Amen.
Of the goodness of God.
Amen. Let's take our Bibles and turn to the Gospel of John, chapter number 4. John's Gospel, chapter number 4. This month we are focusing our attention on jubilation, celebration, worship. And I hope that the Lord would open up His Word to us, that all of us could understand a little bit more about worshiping the Lord, how to worship the Lord, not only in our private time with Him, but also in our public gatherings, that we could worship the Lord together and give honor and glory to His name. So I've titled the sermon this morning, Learning to Worship. Learning to Worship. And I want to draw your attention to verses 19 through 26. Jesus, chapter 4, 19 through 26. Jesus is talking to a woman by the well. She has been married 5 times, but now she's just living with a man. And Jesus reveals that. He says, go call your husband. She said, I don't have a husband. He said, you've said that right. You've had 5 husbands, and the man you're living with now is not your husband. She said in verse 19, the woman saith unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that the Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When He is cometh, He shall tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am He. I'm the Messiah. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father, we must pause and once again pray, because only You are able to communicate Your truth to the heart of Your children. Only You can convince those that are not saved, not followers of Christ, to turn from their sin and put their faith and trust in Jesus this very hour. Lord, salvation belongs to You. You're the author of salvation, the finisher of our salvation. And Lord, we are dependent upon You today to help us to communicate Your word to Your people so that we could have understanding. Lord, You know exactly the condition of each of our hearts, whether it's open to receive the truth, or Lord, whether we've hardened it and we reject the truth. I pray, God, for that person that may be the one that's hardened his heart. Lord, would You soften it? Would You somehow show them how much that You love them and care for their never dying soul? How You long to see them in heaven, and Lord, You would not want to see them cast into hell. God, help them to come to You today that they might be saved. I pray, Father, if they're Christians here that are kind of cold and indifferent, Lord, would You please warm our hearts, stir us this morning, or call us back to a close and more intimate relationship with You. Lord, I ask You that all of us would receive Your word, that none of us, God, would pass it on to someone else or think that it's for someone else, but all of us, God, will be receptive to Your word, that if there's any changes in our life that You, Lord, would want us to change, that we would submit to You, that You would have Your way in every heart this morning, that Your will could be done. Father, please enable me to say what needs to be said. Unctionize the preaching. Fill me with the Holy Ghost. Use me this morning, God, to share Your word. We'll thank you and praise you, Lord, for what you do. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray and ask these things. Amen. So since our topic this month is going to be on worship, that is the worship of God, I thought of drawing your attention here this morning. I do believe that the Lord directed me here because Jesus gives us in John 4 insight on worship. One of the things that you have to consider when you think about the subject of worship here is why is it in this context? In John chapter 3, Jesus talks to a religious man, a ruler in the synagogue. You might think that, you know, the conversation of worship would come up there. But as he talks to Nicodemus, he talks to Nicodemus about the need for him to be born again. Even though he was a religious man, he wasn't saved. You know, you can be religious and lost. And so he convinces Nicodemus that Nicodemus must put his faith and trust in the Lord Jesus, even though he's a religious man, a pious man, in order for him to have eternal life. And then as he comes to this woman, who, as I said, has been married 5 times, she's now living with a man that she's not married to, and I don't say this to be rude or unkind, but the Bible would call that fornication. If you're living with someone, you're not married to them, you're having relations, the Bible says that that is fornication. It's one of the sins listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9 that says, if you practice these things, you cannot inherit the kingdom of God. You cannot live a life of fornication and think that you're going to go to heaven when you die. A lot of us realize if you're living and practicing the life of homosexuality, you can't think that you're going to live in heaven when you leave this world. That's a sin that the Bible strongly condemns. Well, listen, it also condemns fornication. So we're going to be hard on the homosexual. We must be honest about people that are just living together and are not married. Amen? And so Jesus tenderly and kindly works through that situation, but he does not overlook her sin. He addresses the sin issue. And then he begins to talk about worship. So why did he bring up worship with this woman and not with the religious man? He brought up worship because she asked him about worship. And so, preacher, why is that important? Because if you want to know how that you ought to worship the Lord, if you want to worship the Lord better, if you want to be instructed to worship the Lord, you need to go to Christ and say, Christ, let me ask you about worship. And I promise you, as he did this woman who was in the spiritual condition that she was in, he is glad to answer your question about worship. He wants you to know how to worship. Amen? I'm hoping as we go through our month, as the Lord leads us, that you and I can learn more about worship. It don't matter who you are, if you're interested in it, he wants to give you information about it. Amen? Yes, amen. So notice the first thing that he says to this woman about worship. He says it's not a place, but a person. She has her place in Samaria. She thinks that is the place where God meets his people, right here in this holy place. And then the people in Jerusalem said, no, it has to be in the temple Solomon built. It has to be in this location. If you're going to meet with God, it has to be here. And Jesus says, listen to me. It's not about the place that you think that you meet God or the place that the Jews think that they can meet God. It's not about the place. It's about worshiping God. Amen. You know, we get mixed up on that ourselves sometimes. Amen? Amen. We're to worship God everywhere, anywhere, all the time. Now, we should set aside church as a sanctified place where we meet together to worship God. We should expect to worship God when we go to the church of God. Amen?
Amen.
But the truth is, you can worship God anywhere at any time. How did he do this? Look at verse 21. He ends that verse by saying that they are to worship the Father. Look at verse 23. He ends it again by saying, "For the Father seeketh such to worship Him." Right above that He says, "True worshipers shall worship the Father." And then even in verse number 24, "God is a spirit. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth." You see how He's driving home the truth? It's not that location or this location. What you need to get into your mind, fixing your mind, is it's a person and not a place. You and I are brought together this morning that we might worship the living God. That we might worship the resurrected Christ. Amen?
Amen.
And you and I need to focus on this being, God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And we need to worship God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. In Exodus chapter 33, when Israel had left Egypt, God promised them His presence. He says this in verse 14, "My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest." And so, to give them a sense of His presence, during the day He gave them a cloud to shade them from the hot sun. At night He gave them a pillar of fire to warm them at night. But that cloud and the pillar of fire always represented that God was present with them. They could worship God in Egypt. They could worship God going through the Red Sea. They could worship God on the other side of the Red Sea. No matter where they were, God was with them. And God is the one that we're to focus our worship on. Jesus drew her attention to the Father. Notice also He addresses in verse number 22, it's not the ignorance, but the reality of worship. Jesus says, "You worship, you know not what." The point here, there are billions of people all over the globe that worship. I mean, y'all know that. It's not just Christians that worship. There are multitudes of people that worship. You have in India, among the Hindus, they worship a multitude of gods. The Muslim religion, they worship. I remember going to a gas station one time and a man pulled out a rug and faced it in a certain direction and bowed out in the hot sun. And he would lift his head up and go back down, lift his head up and go back down. And it was his time for prayer. Muslims pray 5 times a day. And at those 5 times a day, they say the same words each time that they pray. But it's an act of worship, right? Bowing, interceding, and talking to God. And on it goes of the people that worship. By the way, all men worship something.
Right.
You may say this morning, "Preacher, I'm not a worshiper." Yes, you are. There's something that you idolize, something that you love. It may be money in the bank. It may be something else. But you live for it. You love it. You long for it. It is something that is on your mind and heart constantly. All men worship something. But just because you worship something doesn't mean that you worship it in truth. It may not be real worship at all. It may be a worship that God the Father rejects, that He does not accept. In Saudi Arabia, the Muslims will go around a building in Mecca. They'll walk around it 7 times. And if they can get to the building, they have a little black stone on that building, and they will kiss that black stone, and that black stone is supposed to take away their sins. I'm not saying that to ridicule or mock them, but I'm here to tell you this morning that kissing a black stone cannot remove a single sin. Kissing stones don't remove sin. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that removes sins. They worship a God they call Allah. And the reason I mention that is because the definition or the name for Allah is the God. It still doesn't tell you who the God is. You say, "Well, who is the God?" I'll say, "He's Allah." I'll say, "Okay, that means He's the God. But what's His name? Who is He?" His name is Allah. So they're saying God is, His name is God. And Christians, we can't excuse ourselves. Sometimes we do the same thing. We worship we know not what. We are living in a day where entertainment is more interesting to us than reality and truth. We all are stirred by something. I don't know about you, but I'm easily excited. What does that mean? I can go to a flag football game, and it's not long until I'm on the sideline screaming and, you know, throwing grass and saying, you know, come on, you can make that, yeah, let's win, let's win. And everybody's looking at me like, I went to a Christian concert one time. And folks were singing, and boy, it was so good. I stand up, I was praising the Lord. I said, amen! Yes, that's good! Afterwards, a couple that attend the Assembly of God church said, where do you go to church at? They wanted me to go to their church. But listen, I'm easily excited. When we were in high school, at the Friday night thing we did before the game. What they call that? Rally, yeah. Pep rally. Music's good. People are cheering. That's what I'm doing. I'm not sitting over there like not on a rock log. I'm cheering. You may not have that personality, and listen, I hope some of you other Christians would get a hold of this as well. Some people could sit there and enjoy that rally and never say a peep. That don't mean that they're not fully involved and engaged in it. I just participate differently than a lot of other people participate. And Christians can do that. We can jump and we can shout and we can sing. But does that mean that we worship? Not necessarily so. These folks were worshiping, but Jesus said, you don't know what you're worshiping and you don't know who you're worshiping. He said, we know what we worship. What was the point Jesus is making here? For salvation is of the Jews. The point Jesus was making is the Messiah came into the world through the seed of Abraham. That the way that the world would be saved would be through this Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Salvation is of the Jews because the Jews brought the Messiah into the world, and if men would put their faith and trust in Jesus, they could be saved from their sin and have everlasting life. That's the point Jesus was making, that salvation comes through the seed of Abraham, the descendant also of King David. Jesus is saying here, worship me. Notice verse 23 as well. It's not random acts, but required motives. Look at verse 23. He said, you must worship in spirit and in truth. Listen, he repeats that in verse 24. God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Spirit means that we are to come from what is, the spirit means that we're to come from what is within us. We're made of body, soul, and spirit. It's not just the external carnal things. For example, burning candles or offering up sacrifices like these people would do or bringing meal offerings or kissing a black stone, like I mentioned, or crawling up the steps as your knees bleed to get to some idol that you kiss the foot of. Those things are not really genuine acts of worship. Worship comes from the heart. It comes from the inner man. It's your spirit reaching out to God's spirit. It's your spirit desiring to unite with God. That's what true worship is. If you look up the definition of worship, the word means to bow down before in reverence and fear and humility. But the heart of that bowing before is recognizing how great God is. And worship is your spirit reaching out to God. I wonder, as we sang this morning, were you just singing the songs? Or was your spirit reaching out to God? Were you trying to get in touch with Him? Were you trying to let Him know, God, I do love you. You are faithful, God. You've been so faithful to me.
Yes.
Amen? You must engage your spirit because God is a spirit. And if you don't engage your spirit, there is no act of worship. By the way, that means we must be very vigilant on this. Because your devotional time can turn into just a dry Bible reading time because you're no longer engaging your spirit. Is that true? You can read your Bible without trying to hear God's voice or let God speak to you. If you find yourself doing that, stop and pray and say, Lord, I don't want to just read the Bible. I don't want to just say words in prayer. I want to meet with you. I want to be with you. I want this time to be about my relationship with you, not just saying to others, well, I read my Bible every day. And then Jesus also added that it must be in truth as well. What truth, preacher? The whole counsel of the Scriptures. If it's in spirit and in truth, all false worship is not accepted. Is that true?
Amen.
I mean, if it's not true, you know, we have this thought, well, if as long as I'm sincere, right, as long as I'm earnest about it, God has to accept it. No, if it's not in truth, God is not going to accept it as an act of worship. I'll give you an extreme example. On 9/11, when those folks flew the planes into the Pentagon World Trade Center, they really thought they were doing something for God. They thought as soon as they sacrificed their life, they would be in paradise with at least 72 virgins. They were earnest. They were sincere. But it was false. They believed a lie. It was not true worship. By the way, the Bible also gives an example of this. In the book of Isaiah, chapter number 1, God says a shocking thing to His people. He's the one that instituted the system of sacrifice. He's the one that said it's the blood that makes atonement for sin, pointing to the blood of Christ on Calvary. But He says this in Isaiah, in chapter 1, verse 11. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts. I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. When you come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense. Listen to what He said in chapter 1, verse 13. Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with, is iniquity. Even your solemn meeting, your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me, and I am weary to bear them. And when you spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Why? Why? Your hands are full of blood. Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doing before mine eyes. Cease to do evil, learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widows. You see, they were going through the motions, they were bringing the sacrifices, but their behavior and their lifestyle was anti-God. They didn't live in truth, they didn't obey the truth, they were not interested in the truth, and because they weren't, God said, I don't want your worship. Isn't that shocking? That the one in our verse that seeks others to worship Him said to the nation of Israel, I don't want you to worship me. Why? Because they were not worshiping in truth. All lies, all falsehoods keep us from true worship. That means our life, our conduct, our behavior is a part of our worship. And there's a little verse in your bulletin out of the book of Psalms. Brother Phil usually wants me to give a text, and then he gives a scripture reference. Look at that scripture reference in Psalm 29:2. Give unto the Lord glory, do unto his name, worship the Lord, listen to this, and the beauty of holiness. You say, preacher, I want to be a true worshiper of God. And we have to deal with our sins. We've got to get right with God. There's something in our life that's displeasing to him. And we need to come before him and say, God, I want to be forgiven of this and freed from it. Amen. How do we know that God will not accept our worship if we're living and practicing a lifestyle of sin? Because the psalmist said he won't even hear our prayers. Psalms 16 and verse 18, I believe. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord... Okay, if I'm... have iniquity and I'm holding on to something I know God doesn't want and I'm worshiping, will he receive that worship?
No.
If I'm praying, will he receive that prayer? No. So it must be in truth. I must know the truth and live the truth. Believe the truth because it affects my worship of God. Amen?
Amen.
And the last thing I want to point out quickly to you, it's not unwanted worship, but desired. Look at verse 24. Verse 23. This is shocking to me. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. The Father seeks worshipers. He is engaged in looking for people who will worship him. Isn't that interesting? He wants to find worshipers. I hope often that as he looks down upon our church, that he looks down happy knowing there are people here that want to worship him.
Amen.
One of our prayers before we enter in our worship service is, Lord, we want you to be with us. We don't want to just come to church and sit down and go through the motions. Lord, we want you with us. We want you to meet with us. We want your presence known here in this building. We want to worship you.
Amen.
And God is looking for men and women to worship him. Amen?
Amen.
That means he wants you to worship him.
Yes. Glory to God.
And I say this to you, and just a desire to try to help. If you've never received Christ as your personal Savior, you can't worship God. How can you worship the Father as you willfully reject His Son? You can't expect to really be a worshiper of God if you're not believing in Jesus and have received Christ as your Savior. That's the first genuine act of worship, receiving His Son as your Savior, your Lord. Amen?
Amen?
If you don't know that you're saved, you don't know for certain that if you leave this world, you'll spend eternity in heaven. By the way, if you don't go to heaven, you will go to hell.
Amen.
I don't like having to say that, but it's true.
Right.
God can't lie. If you've not received Christ as your Savior, you die, you can't go to heaven. You will be cast into hell. So why choose that awful place when God has offered to you the gift of eternal life, which is Jesus Christ the Lord? Receive Jesus as your Savior. It's not as hard as the devil tries to make it out to be. He's already done all the work. You understand that? He's done everything that needed to be done.
Right.
How do we know that? Because on the cross he said it is finished.
Right.
I've completed it. I've done all that needs to be done. And preacher, how if he's completed the work, how do I get a hold of that? The Bible makes that so plain and clear by repentance and by receiving Christ as your Savior. Repentance, what does that mean, preacher? That means you come to this realization. I've been living for myself and I don't want to live for me anymore. I want Jesus to be the one that I live for. I want Jesus to tell me where to go, what to do, and how to live. I am giving Jesus my life, and I'm letting Christ do with it whatever He wants to. You know you can't be saved without that?
Right.
And then secondly, he said you must receive Christ as your Savior. How do you receive Christ? By faith. Hey, listen, by faith. Lord, I believe what you did. I trust you. I want you to save me. Here's a great verse for you. Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
You realize how simple that is? Paul says, so the word is nigh thee even in thy mouth. What word? The word of salvation. What does he say? He said, if it's a sincere heart, he says, all you have to do is say, Lord, save me.
Right.
You know how many people go to hell because they did not say, Lord, in sincerity, Lord, save me. If you ask Jesus to save you, guess what he'll do?
He'll save you.
He'll save you. Amen?
Amen.
Then you begin this life of worship.
Amen.
And what a wonderful life that is.
Amen.
And if you're a Christian, then you need to, if you haven't been worshiping the Lord in spirit and in truth, you need to come to an altar and say, Lord, help me. I don't want to just read my Bible. I don't want to just go to church. I don't want to just pray prayers. I want to worship you.
Amen.
And I hope this coming month we can dig into this a little bit deeper. Amen?
Amen?
God is a spirit. They that worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth. Let me leave you with this. If you really want to learn how to worship, why don't you start spending some time asking Jesus to show you?
Amen. He will.
Lord, worship in this place or that? I do this or that? Show me, Lord, in your word, how that I can be a worshiper of God. You're looking for people to worship? I want to be a worshiper. So show me how to worship. That's a great prayer to pray, amen? Lord, you want worshipers. I want to be a worshiper. Show me how to worship. Can I say something to you? God will.
Amen?
Amen? Why don't you start that this morning by coming to an altar and say, Lord, I want to be a worshiper. Show me how to worship you. Amen? Let's stand for prayer. If you're here this morning, you don't know Christ, would you please come? Time is running out. You don't know the last time you'll get an invitation to come and receive Jesus. This may be your last opportunity. I trust that it's not, but it may be. And if it is, I hope that you'll take advantage of that. Come and put your faith and trust in Him. Amen? Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for an opportunity, Lord, to come to you now and do business with you. Lord, if there's any that's lost, God, help them to come and say, Lord, save me. Save me. And I know, God, you will. You promised in your word that if we come to you, you'll not cast us out. And I pray, God, also for Christians who need to be worshipers. They need to worship you more purely. Help them also to come and say, Father, you want worshipers. Show me how to be a worshiper. Help me to worship in spirit and in truth. Please, God, bless us in this invitation. Have your way in it. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn to page 255. 255. You need to pray. Will you please come? 255. 255.